In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Feast of St. Martin falls on the 11th of November, and for that reason it tends to get rather obscured by our Remembrance Sunday observances. I think we should not overlook St. Martin, for there is much in his life that is relevant to our Remembrance-tide themes. To begin with, Martin was a soldier, and indeed his pagan parents named him after Mars, the Roman god of war. He was born in what is now Hungary in 316 or 17 or thereabouts. His father was an army officer, and like many an army brat, Martin seems to have spent his childhood moving from one garrison to another. During a spell in northern Italy, he came into contact with Christianity, and before long his ambition was to become a monk. But the army had other ideas, and he was enlisted in the cavalry. So Martin, like many in the armed forces from then and since, has had to find a way of being true to his faith whilst under military discipline and in battle conditions. It is reported that Martin's example in doing so and his courage in the face of the enemy encouraged others to turn to Christ too. Eventually, Martin got his wish and he was released from the army, founded a monastery, and later became Bishop of Tours in France. But the most famous incident in Martin's life occurred while he was still in the army. One day, in the depth of a cold winter, he was marching in a column of soldiers through Amiens in northern France. At the gate of the town was a poor beggar, shivering with cold. The other soldiers either ignored him or jeered at him. Martin, we are told, had already given away all his rations and his money on other charitable causes. And so he had nothing left but his military equipment and his uniform. But that did not stop him. Taking his sword, he took off his cloak and cut it in half. He gave half to the beggar and wrapped the other half round himself. This may seem a strange thing to do. We might have expected him to give all his cloak to the beggar. Christian discipleship, after all, requires us to commit the whole of ourselves to Christ. One explanation is that half of a Roman soldier's equipment belonged to the emperor. So Martin was actually giving away all of his own possessions. Or perhaps it's an illustration of Jesus' words, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." Or again, it could have been a kind of parable about the Christian struggle to obey God and at the same time observe the legitimate demands of the state, the law of the land, and so on. But whatever the reason, a soldier in half a cloak must have looked rather ridiculous. But others who saw it were ashamed that they had not acted when they could have. That night, Martin had a dream. He saw Jesus standing there, dressed in half a cloak, his cloak. This well-known incident in Martin's life is, of course, a perfect illustration of Jesus' words, "Whatever you do to the least of my brothers and sisters, you do to me." And I think it's also an illustration of something else, something that flashed across the mind of an army padre serving not very far from Amiens, almost exactly 1600 years after Martin's birth. Geoffrey Studdart Kennedy ministered in the trenches of the First World War. It was a very down-to-earth ministry, relating to troops on their own level, as his nickname, Woodbine Willie, affectionately bestowed on him by the troops, showed. Woodbines, by the way, were a cheap brand of cigarette that much loved by the soldiers, and Studdart Kennedy always had a supply of them to share with the soldiers. And in 1917, running towards his own lines under shell fire, he came across the body of a young German soldier. Then there came light, he wrote. It seemed to me that the boy disappeared, and in his place there lay Christ on the cross. From that moment on, I have never seen the world as anything but a crucifix. I see Christ staring up at me from the pages of the newspaper that tells of a tortured, lost, bewildered world. Studdart Kennedy realized that Christ is present in the battlefields of our world, amidst the strife and destruction that we can make in our own lives. He has already been there, and he shares our pain. He also calls us not to leave it there, but to respond. Christ's self-giving love led not to the cross alone, but to his glorious and risen life. As in the same way, Martin's generous heart transformed a naked, freezing beggar into a child of God. Amen.